I think we are joined now by Corey Weir of Unifor. Are you there, Corey?
Yes, hi.
Hey, Corey, thanks very much for talking to us. You are much better acquainted than we, but we were all concerned about this development of the withdrawal from or disaffiliation of the Unifor, the union to which you belong, from the Canadian Labour Congress. And the immediate issue had to do that they withdrew over was that Unifor wished to sign up members of another union, Unite Here, in the hotel workers of Toronto. Now, you have a great site, solonet.ca. I want listeners to please go to solonet.ca. Where does this issue stand today? And what you, as a member of Unifor, and I gather from Solonet that you might not believe this was the best move on the part of Jerry Diaz and others, what kind of crisis do we have?
Yeah, I mean, you know, to start off, first of all, this is a very complex situation. I don't think there's a, you know, it's not a black and white thing. It's very nuanced. Mm-hmm. But, you know, from our position, and certainly, you know, and on Solonet, we, you know, there's not really like a group think thing happening. Everyone's entitled to their own opinions. So anyone that feels that they have a different perspective is welcome to post there. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, we see, you know, I see that this exit from the CLC is absolutely destructive for the Canadian labor movement. Mm-hmm. You know, we're at a watershed moment where we have, you know, massive public outrage against bad bosses and employers who are pushing back against the minimum wage increase that just happened and some other labor legislation in Bill 148. We're at this, you know, this great moment to be organizing workers and to be building our movement, building capacity of some of the most marginalized workers in the country. And, you know, instead, we're in this massive public battle, you know, that's bound up in all these political decisions at the top, while all of us who do the real rank and file work on the ground in our labor councils and communities are left looking at this like, you know, what are you guys doing?
This is Corey Weir, Solonet, and is a site, but Andy's also a member of Unifor, very active in the union, has a number of posts representing Unifor members. I read an article by Jerry Diaz published in Huffington Post, and I didn't get the feeling it addressed very closely the issues that are, you know, involved here. He is addressing the matter of trusteeship, and he characterizes trusteeship imposed by the international Unite Here as somehow, and he says it's American, but I don't see the American part. I see a decision by an international to put a local under trusteeship for very specific reasons. Now, if those reasons were to hold up, and there's a place for those things to be challenged, it's nothing exceptional, is it? I mean, trusteeships do exist apart from the United States.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, your Unifor has itself probably done that, used trusteeships.
Yeah, well, you know, the narrative that's being trotted out is extremely simplistic and overlooks all the nuance in the situation, right? So we continually hear, you know, it's American unions, American this, American that. And, you know, look, as a member of Unifor who was from CAW, who left UAW, I know that there can be issues that arise, certainly, and that in some instances the best call to make is to disaffiliate and form something new. But ultimately what I feel is at the heart of this is an issue of democracy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to say nothing of the situation that's happening internally at Unite Here, because, you know, I do know some great activists there who actually were instrumental in the protests against Trudeau. And, you know, they're very upset with their international. But that's why, you know, there are processes for these things. Mm-hmm. And for Unifor to come out and say that we're the champions of democracy is just laughable, honestly, at this point. If we look at history, like in 2016, our Unifor National Executive Board, without much deliberation or any democratic input, decided to strip the charter from BC Unifor members who are staff reps at BCNU. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they were stripped of their charters because they didn't toe the Nationals line. They, you know, they were forced into a situation where they felt that their principles were being compromised. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were told to leave the BC Fed and all of this. And, you know, if we look back to last year with the ATU, the same parallel keeps being drawn between, you know, this situation, the ATU, America. But, mm-hmm. you know, as we found out, it was actually just Bob Kinnear on some rogue campaign with a political vendetta that mm-hmm. did all this thing without the mandate of his membership. So when I see our national union applying the same rhetoric, using the same arguments for this situation, you know, mm-hmm. despite how I feel about the legitimate interests of those workers at UH-75 and their grievances against the international there, I have to question the sincerity of certainly at least our national leadership on this because, mm-hmm. you know, our practice is so divorced from the theory and rhetoric that's being trotted out here.
Yeah, you have a lot of things at stake. One thing that struck me is that if the argument is that there's not enough democracy, that the targeted union isn't democratic, where is the evidence that Unifor itself was being democratic? You would think that there'd be a wide discussion in Unifor. You've had recent conferences. I don't know if you use the word convention, but certainly there have been meetings, major meetings, where this matter didn't come up.
Yeah.
So if you thought, well, look, we have to help these poor workers. They don't. Why not discuss that with your own workers? Why does the executive make a decision out of the blue, which shocked a lot of people?
I completely agree. And you know, we just had our Canadian Council meeting, and you know, it's not exactly a light read, but if you look through the Unifor Constitution, it spells out right there, and there's a specific article for affiliations, and a disaffiliation or affiliation from the CLC. It's meant to be decided democratically and subject to debate by members at either the National Convention or the Canadian Council. Now, you know, when I'm seeing here and reading all this rhetoric, they're saying, you know, this has been an issue that's been ongoing for years. Well, you know, I was at the last National Convention as an observer, and, you know, this issue wasn't raised there. I wasn't at the Canadian Council, but I know from other folks that were there that this issue was never raised there. So, and this is after the ATU situation. So if this is really such a, you know, longstanding pressing issue, which, you know, I believe it is, and if they were really concerned about democracy, well, they've had plenty of opportunity for us to have these discussions democratically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for them to make these unilateral decisions in a teleconference of all things, you know, it just smacks of hypocrisy.
This is Corey Weir, Unifor and Solonet.ca. Yeah, and Corey, additionally to that, is even you tactically, in order to create an atmosphere where you would improve even the chances of winning, is a reason that you have the democracy, right? It's not just to hear every opinion, but so that you can say, we've talked it over, we've heard the contrary arguments, we've taken a vote, and now we're going to do this. And everybody says, that was fair, let's do it. But yep. if you an executive does it, and the timing is so bizarre, I shouldn't call it bizarre, it's rather suspicious, right? Because on the eve of contracts for Unite Here with hotels in Toronto, which is the open period in which you can recruit them, suddenly Jerry Diaz's leadership, they raise the Jolly Roger, and you have the skull and crossbones, and they announced to everybody, we're going to see if we can take these guys. I mean, that is definitely an executive decision, not a union decision.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I understand that we elect an executive board to, you know, make executive decisions in instances, right? You know, our conventions are, you know, only every 3 years. So in between then, things need to get done. Decisions need to be made. Mm-hmm. But a decision of this gravity with absolutely zero input from the people that it most drastically affects, mm-hmm. Within Unifor anyways, you know, our workers and members of labor councils, you know, it's absolutely egregious for them to, you know, to make these unilateral decisions without input. And now I've caught wind that they are going around. There've been a few town halls being mentioned that are going to be held in certain locals across the country. And, you know, that just speaks to the fact that they're in massive damage control now because it's spinning out of control and they're seeing widespread discontent across the membership, across the country. And now we're having to grapple with the fallout of this executive decision they made without our input.
Yeah. I heard that, and I think we were told on this show perhaps last week by Sid Ryan, that there's in Hamilton, the district labor council, they voted to allow Unifor members of the council to remain, but then they held a vote on the issue of rating, and those Unifor members voted against rating. So it sounds like there is some trouble in Unifor's own house with its tactics. It's like, you know, if you make an executive decision, it's like I was once in the Marine Corps. They always say there's always a 10% that don't get the word. In your case, it looks like 85% didn't get the word. So it's confusing. Have you thought it through? What should happen with Unifor participation in OFL and the various labor councils? My understanding is that they're going to ask. There's going to be a motion probably this week from the CLC leadership that Unifor members will have to be told they can't participate. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I do. And in the interest of full disclosure, I do currently, maybe not currently anymore, but I sit on the executive board of Durham Region Labor Council representing young workers in the region. So, we've had an emergency meeting and like just a absolutely exhausting amount of discussion surrounding this issue. But at the end of the day, my personal position is that given these actions, it's laid out pretty clearly in the CLC constitution, and certainly we can have a discussion of whether or not these rules have been enforced universally over the years, but my position is that as a delegate and as a Unifor member, if we're no longer affiliated to the CLC, then I should be stepping down from my position, and my participation in the council should be restricted, because those rules are there. That's the process. The reality is that those of us that are affected by this, we're still going to do the work. And that important work comes from being on the ground in the community. It doesn't come from holding a title or making executive decisions. So,
Unifor member, and you have a right and duty to try. If you think this was a mistake, which I gather a lot of Unifor people do, it sounds like that is going to become an in-house debate. It might get loud, actually.
Yeah, I mean, by the looks of things, I imagine it will. I know there's a lot of discussion, a lot of discontent. I can't change the decisions at the CLC, but what I can focus on are the things in-house. Mm-hmm. So, whatever the membership at our local labor council decides to do, I'll respect that, obviously. I do feel, though, that if we're expected to resign and to stand down, then that this should be universal across the board.
Including the guys with the six-figure incomes?
We're all volunteers, right? We're not getting paid. And, I think Hassan Youssef and Chris Buckley as well, should also be forced to live by the same set of rules. I mean, after all, isn't that democracy?
It sounds like it to me. It certainly, the guy who's not making any money is very interested in the guy who's making a lot. And they're both supposedly fighting, as they say, in the same trench. There's one other issue we raised with Sid Ryan. I'll raise it with you. And I know it's been your concern. Listeners should know that Corey Weir was one of those who, when Trudeau was introduced to the youth by Jerry Diaz and in Ottawa some months back, Corey turned his back on Trudeau. The leaders of your union are quite enthusiastic about the Liberal Party. Do you see this as any kind of a factor, by the way, in the way they're behaving?
I'm not sure how I can equate that. I mean, cozying up to the Liberals, it's all part of a broader kind of service business union mantra that kind of, sells out our entire past. So I think, obviously, I think it does influence their decisions, obviously, but I'm not sure what the direct links to this situation may be.
Mm-hmm. And Corey, going forward here, there's a number of serious meetings. I think maybe you could help us even with the calendar. My understanding is that that the CLC is going to meet this week and probably make a decision about these executive members you were referring to. Your own Unifor itself, is they're having meetings. Are these things going to be on the agenda as of the local meetings, do you think?
I believe the emergency meeting at the CLC there is happening on February 5th. So what I imagine will happen is that the outcome of that meeting will be filtered down through the CLC to our local presidents and then out to the rest of our membership in advance. Mm-hmm. And I imagine we're going to be having a broad discussion about that at council as well, if the council members decide that I'm even allowed to sit in the room, right? So
this is, they used to say the labor movement was asleep. It seems to be wide awake at the moment. Let's hope this is a profitable, useful fight. It looks like it might be to me. I mean, principal questions are on the table that we should benefit. Well, we're going to turn to Solonet to find out, solonet.ca. And Corey, we really appreciate very much your being with us.
Yeah, thank you. No problem.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye. Corey Weir, solonet.ca. And there's another site, rankandfile.ca. They're all on top of this.